Johnny, when Florin Porter passed the line in the Stayers hurdle at Cheltenham, what was your overriding emotion?
There was a mixed emotion. I was delighted, obviously, for Gavin and the team and the owners, the Florin Porter Syndicate. I was delighted for the horse because I had so much faith in him to have a performance like that. But obviously, it was very tough for myself personally, not being on his back. But I suppose that's part and parcel of this game, so you just have to get on with it.
And I thought the way you conducted yourself straight after that race, I thought it was remarkable. I'm not suggesting that you wouldn't have held it together, but just missed out on a Cheltenham Festival winner. And you were there, and you led the horse back into the winner's enclosure. And that's so unusual for a jockey to be in that situation. If they're injured, they're normally at home, and you know they might be able to get disappointed at home. But if you even to lead him back into the winner's enclosure, and Danny was the first person to allude to the fact that you played such a major role in him.
Yeah, listen, I was just happy for everything. And I was riding him that morning, and because I wasn't able to ride that morning, I was already over in Cheltenham, and I said there's no point in going back to my room in the hotel and crying about it. I said I might as well go down and support him and support the team. And the way I looked at it was I didn't get jocked off the horse. I wasn't able to ride the horse, so I wasn't fit. People asked me could I have rode. I wasn't able to ride. I was on the strongest painkillers you can take. I wasn't physically able to ride, so what was the point of me sitting back and feeling sorry for myself? There was a bigger picture. It was great for the yard, great exposure for the yard, great exposure for Gavin and the owners, you know. So I just tried to stay positive and look at the bigger picture, even though, like, you know, obviously it was a killer. You know, I wouldn't be human if it wasn't.
And I thought it was a great indicator when Ted Walsh was speaking on RT television last Sunday, when he just says, if you don't feel disappointment when you lose, there's something amiss. So I'd say it was a mixture of being thrilled for the horse who provided you with your first grade one, but just so disappointed that you didn't ride him. But now you're back riding out today, and the indicators are pretty positive in terms of renewing the partnership for Punchestown.
Obviously, as Ted said the other day in the RT, there's obviously an enormous amount of pain for me not being on his back, but if I dwelled on that, sure, I wouldn't be here riding out today. I want to get back and strong and fit and be back to ride Florin Porter in Punchestown, and that's my aim now. And as I said, I've rode out two lots here this morning and felt good, so yeah, I'm really looking forward to Punchestown now.
But you're optimistic and pretty confident that you'll be back for Punchestown now anyway.
Yeah, no, I'm very optimistic that I'll be back for Punchestown. Obviously, I'm not 100% yet, but I'm a lot better. I tried riding out last week and I wasn't able, and this week now I've rode out this morning and I felt a lot better. So in another week's time, if I continue the same improvement, I'm sure I'll be 100%.
And you've indicated that the injury was a few cracked ribs, and the pain of those is meant to be excruciating, worse than fractures of other parts of your body. What is it that was so disabling that you couldn't ride him?
Well, the thing was, I saw three cracked ribs in my back, and it's very close to the three breaks were very close to the vertebrae, and I suppose it was just in a very sore area. I've broken ribs on the front of my chest, and I've stayed riding before, but just where those were broken was just in an awkward area around all the muscles that which I use for riding. And yeah, it was just one of those things. It was bad timing, but as I say, you just have to get on with it. When you sign up for this game, if you don't think there's going to be days like that, there's probably no point in doing it.
And now that the dust has settled from Cheltenham, I suppose you would have taken a Grade 1 success before the season started. You've that in the bag. And now you head on to the Punchestown Festival with two genuine Grade 1 contenders, Vanillier and Florin Porter. And Gavin indicates that he's going to have maybe upwards of 12 runners over the course of the week. You must be really looking forward to it.
Yeah, listen, it's been an ups and downs kind of a season for me. I had a great summer, and then I broke my collarbone in September and was out for 7 weeks with that. And then I came back and I was flying again, and obviously got the Grade 1 winner. That was great. And things were back rolling again just before Cheltenham, and then obviously that. So it's been a bit of a stop-starty season, but to ride my first Grade 1 winner this year was brilliant. And as you say, Gavin has a lot of horses to look forward to now. Punchestown, you even have the likes of Darver Star. I'm sure he'll have his last run as a novice chaser as well. So much to look forward to in Punchestown. Hopefully I'll end the season on a high.
And what was the reaction of your fellow professionals over in Cheltenham? We saw a great scene when Richie Condon rode his first winner. It was a guard of honour for him when he came in, having ridden his first winner. What were the lads saying to you in terms of, you know, put this behind you, move on?
Yeah, listen, the lads were all very good to me. You know, they were, even Mark Walsh, when he won in Vanillier, he said, like, it's tough, but, you have these horses to look forward to. And even after, say, thanks to Rachel Blackmore, when Florin Porter won, I went into the weigh-room and I was kind of sat by myself. She came over and gave me a hug. So, you know, they were all very supportive, which was great.
And I suppose the fact that you have a young family as well, you can go home and you can focus on other things. It's not 24/7 horse racing now. You know, you have a good work-life balance.
Yeah, exactly. I can't go home and feel sorry for myself. I've two little women at home to keep me busy. So I have a great balance in my life with racing and with my family. So yeah, I have plenty of downtime with them, which is great to get your head out of this game when you are off.
Final question, the fact that Richard Johnson's retired, Barry Geraghty's retired, Ruby Walsh is retired, Tony McCoy, you see Rachel really kind of kicking on this season, Paul as well, champion jockey. Do you have big ambitions for yourself over the next few years to make that step up to be, you know, one of those go-to grade one winning jockeys or jockeys who'll be successful in those grade one races?
Well, it's like you have to be thinking that way every day. You want to get up and you want to get to that high pedestal. That's where we're all aiming. And Gavin has a very progressive yard here, getting bigger the whole time, getting more quality the whole time. If we remain at the same progression, I'm hoping I can get up to that level, and hopefully we can stay at that level if we get to it.
And the progression here in the yard is quite remarkable. I remember coming here, could be 6 or 7 years ago, there was one barn. Now there's five barns, upwards of 70, 80 horses. And the fact that he's supporting you 100%, what does that do for a jockey? The fact that you have the support of a big up-and-coming yard like this.
It's just great, you know, when you have, in this game, you know, to succeed, you have to have a big job behind you. And when you have man behind you, the calibre of Gavin Cromwell, and as you said there, he's very supportive of me and has been for the last nearly 2 years since I've came here. I'm in a great position at the moment to have a successful career, and you know, long may it last.
Final question: when you set out your career when you were in Wexford, dreaming of becoming a jockey, would you be happy with what you've achieved so far in terms of your career path, or when you win those grade ones, do you want more?
I always want more. When I rode my first grade one winner, it was great, but I want another one now. You know, I've held a licence for 10 years, I think, and there's been times, there's been ups and downs, but I've got myself to a position now where I think I can succeed. And I'm delighted in the position I'm in at the moment. Yeah, I just want more. I want more grade one winners. I want to ride more big winners. I want to ride as many winners as I can for Gavin and whoever else puts me up. If you keep your head down, you can succeed, and I'm a great believer in that. To just keep working hard and the results will keep coming.